In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Paradox. That's the theme for this Sunday, the Feast of the Holy Trinity. Paradox. Dictionary definition. A seemingly contradictory statement that may nonetheless be true. Example for the day. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in three persons, and three persons in one God, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. Got it? Yeah, right. You gotta love the Athanasian Creed, don't you? It was written in the days when men and women believed something. And they knew what not to believe, too. You could never get away with the Da Vinci Code in the 5th century, baby. That creed reminds me of a famous line from the apologist author Dorothy Sayers, who said, "The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, the Holy Spirit incomprehensible, the whole thing incomprehensible." And that's good, right, and salutary. That it is incomprehensible. By the way, the incomprehensible there means cannot be contained. Cannot be contained. Any God who fits comprehensibly inside of your head isn't big enough to be your God. You'll have to seek another. The Christian faith is built on paradox. Seemingly contradictory statements that are nonetheless true. God is three and he is one, a triunity. We kind of celebrate that with our name and all those triangles all over the place. Three and one, one and three. Love that stuff. Jesus is God and man, paradox. Two natures, one person. The scriptures are God's word, breathed by the Holy Spirit, and they are at the same time man's words. And as a believer, you are both a sinner and a saint at one and the same time. Paradox. There are dangerous sharks lurking in these paradoxical waters. The danger is that we turn God into a concept, an abstraction, a piece of mathematics, something that we can tuck safely in a book or a creed or a theory or some picture in our minds. It's kind of a safe God, you know, one that you trundle out for those special occasions when you need a little deity to spice things up. A tame God on a leash for those times when we need a little religion to keep us going through the hard times. Think about it. Here's the problem. The Feast of the Holy Trinity has no text, no story, no narrative. The best we have is Jesus on a mountain in Galilee telling his 11 disciples, "Make disciples of the nations by baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." That's about all the narrative you get for the Holy Trinity. Christmas, Good Friday, Easter, Ascension, Pentecost. There are rich historic narratives for these days. But the text behind this day is a doctrine, not a narrative. A doctrine. A summary of the mystery of the God who made the heavens and the earth. The God who revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. The God who led Israel out of captivity through the sea and across the wilderness. The God who made himself concretely known in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. The God who blows the breath of his Spirit out through the church and over the world to raise the dead and bring life to all creation. The Holy Trinity is not about an abstract concept. It is about a relationship, communion within God and communion with God. the Father has a Son. The Father begets a Son from all eternity, and the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. God is never alone, even when He's alone. Before He made man, He said, "Let us make man in our image." When God talks to Himself, He talks in the plural. He's never alone. Together as one, the undivided Holy Trinity creates, redeems, makes holy. Each person doing His divine personal thing, yet always as one. And you, baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you enter into that communion, that love and life of God. The Father is your Father. The Son is your brother. The Spirit is your advocate, your guide, your friend. You are part of God's family. You live in triune communion with God, with the Father, through the Son, in the Holy Spirit. There was a man named Nicodemus, a rabbi, a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, the religious ruling council. And he was about to encounter the paradox par excellence in the flesh, Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Mary. "Rabbi," he says, "we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." Now, I don't know about you, but I get just a wee bit suspicious when someone starts a conversation that way. As the praise heaps up higher and higher, you're sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know, the "but" at the end of that clause. "You did a really good job with the report last week, and corporate couldn't be happier with your work, but..." "Pastor, I really like your sermons, and your Bible classes are always interesting, but..." You know how that goes. Jesus just preempts Nicodemus with an amen and a perfect non sequitur. "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." Nicodemus wasn't asking about that, but I think he was thinking about that. The born must be reborn. Paradox. Nicodemus has kind of a minor brain sprain over this paradox. "Wait a minute, how can an old man be born again? What's he supposed to do? Enter his mother's womb a second time?" For you guys who are interested in logic, that's called an argumentum ad absurdum. An argument to the absurd. Of course not. Of course not. But Jesus was a little ambiguous there. He said, "Unless you are born anothen." Anothen means again. It also means from above. So which is it? Unless you are born again, or unless you are born from above? We're Lutherans. We know the answer. Try it both ways. Unless you are born again from above. Jesus says, "Listen up. Let me put it another way." I'm paraphrasing here, by the way, in case. But listen up. That's... "No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit." Ah, as if that made things any clearer. But shuffle through your mental concordance for a second. You know the Bible. Water and Spirit. When's the first time you ever saw water and Spirit together in the Bible? Genesis 1, 3. The Spirit hovering over the waters of the deep before God spoke a word into creation. That's how all things were made, you see, through water and the Spirit. So Jesus is saying here, unless, Nicodemus, unless you become a new creation, unless you are created all over again, go back to Genesis 1:3. Unless you are created by water and Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. There is another birth. There is a new birth from above. The old creation is shot dead. It's nothing but death. Flesh gives birth to flesh. And you know what happens to flesh, don't you? It dies and it rots. That's your birth from below. That's what makes you a child of Adam. That's the birth that gives birth to a sinner. You know all about that one. You don't need anybody to teach you about that birth. You've all had that birth. But that one doesn't get you an entry ticket into the kingdom of God. Quite the opposite, actually. Not that God has nothing to do with that birth. He's involved in every birth. The word that says be fruitful and multiply is doing a nice job being fruitful and multiplying even today. But that makes children of Adam, not children of God. And so your first birth delivers you into the hands of death. And so you need to be born a second time from above. And that birth delivers you to life. You must be born again from above, Jesus says, from a different place. A spiritual birth through water and spirit. You hear baptism in that? If you don't, we've really got our work cut out for us today, okay? Water, spirit, baptism, yes. Jesus says it's like the wind. It's like the wind. You can see its effects, and you can hear it, but you can't grab hold of it. That's how it is with the Spirit. That's how it is with everybody born of the Spirit. That's how it is with your new birth of water and the Spirit. You can hear about it, but you can't feel it. You can't touch it. You can't measure it. You must hear it and believe it. Trust the Word. Of course, that leaves Nicodemus as confused as ever. How can this be? The teacher of Israel is stumped. And the problem is not that Nicodemus is a dull tack. Nicodemus is a smart man. He's a rabbi, after all. You don't become a rabbi if you don't have all of your cylinders firing up there. He's a Pharisee. He knows the Bible. He's a member of the ruling council. He's respected for what he knows. He's no dummy. But the problem goes back to his first sentence. He does not see Jesus for who Jesus actually is. He sees Jesus the way many people in this world see Jesus today. A holy man, a religious leader, a great example, a teacher come from God, a miracle worker. And as they used to say before it was politically incorrect to smoke cigars, close but no cigar on this one. Nicodemus does not yet grasp the paradox. This man standing before him in the flesh is God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, the eternally begotten Son of the Father. Nicodemus is staring at the Word made flesh. He's looking at his own Creator and Redeemer. He is seeing the one who would be lifted up for the life of the whole world. Jesus is the Son whom God sent. This is the way God loves the world. He sent his Son into the world to die and rise for it. Nicodemus has no way of knowing that or believing that. And yet somewhere and somehow, that spirit wind of God blew upon this rabbi. The water, the word had their way with him. Nicodemus believed. I say that because when Jesus was crucified, it was Nicodemus, together with Joseph of Arimathea, who came and arranged to bury the body of Jesus. And they said of Nicodemus, he was a believer, but secretly, for fear of the Jews. In a way, you and I have an advantage over old Rabbi Nicodemus. He was standing on the threshold between the old and the new, between prophecy and fulfillment. He saw the signs, but the pieces of the puzzle had not yet been put in place. And that's why John mentions this really cool detail. He came to Jesus at night. He was still in the dark about Jesus. In John, night, that's not the place of belief. Jesus is the light of the world. He came to the light at night. Paradox. It's all paradox. The light of Easter had not yet dawned. But we, you and I, we live in the new. Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ has risen from the dead. Christ now reigns. What was a riddle to Nicodemus is perfectly clear to us. To be born again from above is to be baptized. To be born of water and spirit. To be baptized. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The Spirit blows like the wind wherever He pleases, Jesus says. You can't bottle Him up. You can't put Him into a box. You can't string Him up on a leash or categorize Him. You can only enjoy the refreshing heavenly breeze that blows from heaven. The Spirit has blown on you, each of you, in His own good time and place as it pleases Him. And it pleases Him that you believe the word of Christ that He lays into your ears, that you trust Jesus, that His death is your death, that His life is your life, and that on account of Jesus, you can come to God and say, Our Father. Yes, God's triunity is an incomprehensible paradox. That's true. The Athanasian Creed can't even contain it. Though it tries, doesn't it? It tries. You and I would never have invented such a God. But on the other hand, remember, we don't invent our gods. Gods we invent are called idols. We put them up on the mantelpiece. God reveals Himself to us. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He's not the sort of God we would invent for ourselves. And for that, we're grateful. We're grateful. You don't need to understand somebody in order to have a relationship with them. Most of us are in relationships with people we don't begin to understand or explain. How much more with God? You don't need to understand the mystery of the Holy Trinity. You only need to confess Him and to praise Him. And to worship Him. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to Him because He has shown mercy to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.